is of Karl Rahner. Again, it was Rahner expanded 4 pages on the fundamental option. And my Jesuit scholastic was just thrilled. Isn't this wonderful? I told him, it's wonderful, all right. It's wonderfully wicked. Let me tell you, this encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, will go down in history as one of the most important papal documents ever published. Not easy reading, but of critical importance. Is it only the fundamental option that keeps a person in God's friendship? No, a person may say that he is fundamentally directed to God's will and yet may be committing grave sins. I repeat, I have just a few minutes here in class. And even as I talk, I say to myself, aren't you wasting your time? Well, I hope not. Well, the errors which the Pope brings to the surface have penetrated every nook and cranny of the Catholic Church. Seminary after seminary has been infected with these ideas. Again, how well I know. His protest of being basically oriented towards God will not save him. Now the Pope comes in. All the talk language in the world will get nobody to heaven. A person's behavior must correspond to the divine will. Otherwise, in spite of his protest to the contrary, he is living in sin. The problem, and I've seen it, some very pious people, they can reek of incense. Their clothes drip holy water. But they can be so deeply infected with these ideas. So, is the only mortal sin a total rejection of God's expressed, of God's expressed in the theory of the fundamental option? No. And there's a document, as you know, published on this subject under orders of the present Pope, immediately released by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Coniratio. That title, Persona Humana, the human person. And it's especially, the document brings out, it's especially in sins against the sixth and ninth commandments. Now, these fundamental optionists are having a field day. There's no limit to the sins you can commit. And they're not mortal sins. And this is one dies after another. Now, for example, the people, including priests, are trained, being trained to get over their homophobia. And among the places where this is concentrated on is the state of Michigan. Do you hear me? No. Every single deliberate action which is gravely forbidden by God constitutes a mortal sin. What have the fundamental optionists done to the traditional meaning of mortal sin? They have substituted their own ideas. For them, there are three kinds of sin. To repeat what we've been talking about, venial sin, serious sin, mortal sin. According to these people, only the total rejection of God's will constitutes a mortal sin. What do we mean when we say that we are our own, strange language, our own parents? This means that our free choices determine who we are. We shape our own lives by the decisions we make in life. Let's be as clear as we can. Remember, we are living in a world, our own Western American society, where the freedom that as Catholics we profess we hold that we are free human beings, and depending on how we use this freedom we become what we choose to become. It is finally up to us. 137. What did Christ mean when he said, "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments"? Christ meant to specify how we are to reach heaven. It is through keeping his commandments. Obedience to his commandments is the precondition for reaching heaven. The life in question here is the eternal celestial life in a blessed eternity. Make sure we know what we're talking about. Here on earth, we are living, it's our faith, we're living two lives. We are living a natural life in our bodies. As long as our soul animates the body, we are, as we say, alive. Alive naturally. But our souls are also living. Living what kind of a life? A supernatural life. And we've said this how many times? There's only one ambition we should have here on earth. That when our body dies, when the soul leaves the body, now the soul is alive with God's grace. Otherwise, as Christ said regarding the one who betrayed him, it would have been better for us not to have been born. And the more preoccupied we are with the good things that the world has to offer us, and it has so much, and science both increases the amount of these pleasant things and increases their enjoyment. the more we've got to constantly, every day, and that means beginning with a speaker. I know I've got to constantly watch myself not to give in to my natural tendencies, because I'm surrounded by so many pleasant things in this world. To daily, and for me by rule, twice daily, examine our consciences. How have I used God's creatures today? Have I used them in such a way as to lead me to heaven or not? If I have, thank God. If I haven't, then do something. And maybe get rid of that creature. And let's see, one more question, and then I'll break. Page, or better question, 139. Are our moral actions on earth to be rewarded or punished in the world to come? My friends, our faith is as simple as the multiplication table. All we need is to believe it. That's all. What are we asking here? Are the actions we perform with our free will? That's what moral action means. Is everything we do here on earth that we choose to do, is it to be rewarded or punished in the world to come? Yes. Everything, everything. Therefore, the answer is emphatically yes. In the words of St. Paul, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. There is no such thing as a neutral action. Everything we do has implications for eternity. What this means is that we're now shaping our eternal destiny. We have a free will to either merit God's reward or deserve God's punishment in the life to come. It cannot be too strongly emphasized that our lot in eternity depends on our use of our liberty here on earth in time. I've been a priest 46 years. I keep repeating. When I offer Mass, you know, what we call necology, in all of our Jesuit sacristies throughout the world. Necology is a list of all the Jesuits who have died on a particular day. For example, today, the 15th of May, what Jesuits? It covers four provinces: Detroit, Chicago, Wisconsin, and Missouri. Other provinces have their necrology. As I look at the list of the names, this is regular. Most of those names I know. Not a few of my classmates, and by now many, my former students. So I ask our Lord, Lord, how come I'm still around? And among the answers I always get, I want you to remind people of why they're on earth. To to get to heaven and keep out of hell. That's why I'm here. If I can keep one person out of hell, it'd be more than worth my while. And I keep using these phrases. Most of us are living in a dream world. I mean it. I did tell you that 90% of all the reading that Americans do, and that means billions of words every year, 90% of all the reading that Americans do is fiction. And understandably, they're living in a dream world. Out of touch with reality. And this, under God, is the great privilege that we have of living in a real world, which means possessing the truth. Remember, truth is the agreement of mind and reality. That's truth. You're kind to people who don't see this. You're patient with people. But don't you dare imitate them. If they're walking in a dream, that's their problem. Try to help them find reality. But you have your feet flat on the ground. What we are talking about, building on what the Holy Father is telling us, he didn't used to write this way back in 78, 79, and 80. But the Pope has learned a lot. Oh, has he ever learned a lot? How indifferent so much of the world is to the truth. And with that, we will take our 15-minute break. I've got 2:02. What have you got? 2:02. Let's be real generous. We'll reassemble class at 2:20. How's that? Let's make a sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.